come on, Al, you promised. You told me if I left you alone all night, you would tell me the story again.
Sorry, Candace. Changed my mind. Besides, every time I tell you the story, you get nightmares.
Do not.
Yes, you do. Last time I told you the story, you had nightmares and then spent a week sleeping with me in my bed. Just go to sleep. I'll tell you the story on a different night.
But you promised, please. It's my favorite story. If you tell me, then I promise I won't bother you about it anymore. Even if I do have nightmares, I'll just stay right here in my bed. I pinky promise.
And you aren't going to tell me like you did last time? You aren't going to say that I was telling you stories that scared you?
I told you it was an accident. I didn't mean to tell on you.
I don't know. I'm awfully tired.
Please?
It was lights out half an hour ago. I don't want us to get into trouble because we stayed awake talking.
We won't. After you tell me the story, I'll go right to sleep.
Oh, fine. But then it's right to sleep after this.
Yay! You're the best.
All right, so how does it start again?
Once upon a time...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Once upon a time, there was a town called Hamlin. It was a small town, but it was beautiful. The people of Hamlin spent their days eating cheese, drinking soup, and playing in the streets. It was very quiet in this town, and everyone was happy. But one day, the people of Hamlin noticed that their town was slowly being taken over by...
rats.
That's right. They were the biggest rats you've ever seen. Bigger than some cats and dogs, even. The rats started to destroy everything. They drank the soup, they ate the cheese, they chased the kids playing in the streets, and they even began to sneak into people's houses. The townspeople of Hamlin didn't know what to do. Their beautiful town had now been taken over by the rats. Then one day, a mysterious man shows up to town.
The Piper.
That's right. He had clothes that were decorated with every color of the rainbow, and a hat that sat right on top of his head. The man rarely spoke. All he did when he visited Hamlin was sit in the village square and play his pipe. For some reason, rats never seemed to bother him like they did everyone else. One day, someone noticed how the rats were leaving him alone, and they asked him why this was. He said,
"People love my music, but the rats hate it."
The people in the square realized that the Pied Piper is the only one who could save them from the rats. They beg him to help, telling him that if he helps, then he can have anything. They'll even give him all their gold if he wants, just as long as he plays his music and gets rid of the rats. So that night, all the townspeople sit in their houses and watch from their windows as the Pied Piper begins to play his song in the middle of the town square. But this time, all of the rats start to run from him. They all squeak and squeak and squeak as they leave the town and run straight into the river. When the last rat finally jumps into the water, the piper stops his song and tells everyone that it's safe to come out now. Everyone is thanking him and telling him that he saved the town. But then...
he asks for all their gold.
As he should. That's what they promised to him. They did say if he got rid of the rats, then he could have all the town's gold. But the townspeople didn't think that he would actually ask them for all their gold, so they refused.
All except for one.
That's right. There was a man who was taking care of his daughter. They didn't have a lot of money because the girl had a bad leg and the man spent his days taking care of her instead of working. But even though he had no money, he gave the piper the small amount of gold he had, even though no one else did. The piper thanked the man and left. The people were relieved that the rats were gone, but even more relieved that they had not needed to part with their gold. The piper was gone, and so were their worries.
And then the next night...
the next night, while everyone was sleeping in their beds, a song began to drift through the air. It was quiet at first. It was almost impossible to hear. But the children who were all having happy dreams that night began to hear the music in their sleep. Slowly, they all rose from their beds and began walking towards the village square.
All except for one.
That's right. The girl whose father had given the piper a piece of gold sat in her bed and watched as all of the town's children began to dance in the street. They danced and danced, and eventually they began to follow the piper as he danced his way out of town. They danced their way towards the river, they danced their way towards the hillside, and they danced their way to a cave at the very top of the hill. The girl with the bad leg watched as all the children disappeared into the cave with the piper. The next morning, when everyone realized that the children were missing, the girl told the townspeople what she saw. The townspeople all ran to the caves to find the missing children.
But they were all gone.
That's right. The only thing they found when they went into the caves were music notes that had been carved into the walls of the cave, along with a single message that said,
"Hey, do you smell burning?"
What? No, that's not what it said.
No, I mean, right now, do you smell that? It smells like something burning.
Hey, you're right. What is that? Fire! It's a...
follow his music, Allie. Listen to the song and follow his music.
Mom? Mom? Mom! Oh, what time is it? Oh, God. Well, at least I got a solid 3 hours tonight. Now, where did I put that sleep journal? Oh, here it is. Wednesday. Let's see. 2:13 a.m. Reason for waking up? Reoccurring nightmare. Laid in bed at about 10:30 p.m., tossed and turned for what I think was an hour and then finally drifted off to sleep. Now, wide awake and unlikely to return back to sleep for the rest of the night. Did not drink water, go on phone, or watch TV before bed. Read book for an hour before going to sleep. Chamomile tea has not helped at all this week. Add to that the list of unsuccessful items, which includes lavender spray on my pillow, white noise app, a wave machine, audiobooks, and melatonin. Items that have also resulted in an unsuccessful sleep include stressing about whether or not I turned off all the burners on the stove, wondering about how reliable my smoke alarm is, stressing about not being able to sleep, stressing about trying to remember all the details I have to include in my sleep journal, and stressing about Candace needing me in the middle of the night. Speak of the devil, and she shall appear in text form. Let's see. Are you awake? She knows me too well. Yes, I am awake. Call? Hey, kid. No, you didn't wake me. I'm already awake. I know. Surprising, eh? So what's up? Hi, Dr. Hamilton.
Hello, Ellie. How have you been this last week?
Okay, I guess.
You look exhausted.
Thanks. I tried my best when I got ready this morning.
No, sorry. I don't mean you look bad. What I mean is your body posture, your energy. It all just appears to be low again. Have you been trying the sleep remedies we've suggested?
I've tried every single one of them.
And you've been tracking your sleep like we discussed?
Of course I have. You know I like to make you proud by always completing my homework.
The homework isn't for me, Allie. It's for you. It's so you can try to track the things that are leading to your poor sleeping habits and your nightmares. If we can identify the factors on the nights when you have a good sleep, then we can look at replicating those factors as best we can. In the meantime, we can discuss medication again.
Thank you, but it's still a no from me. I want to try a few more things before we try that. The last thing I want is to be so drugged up that I can't wake up from my own nightmares. But to answer your previous question, yes, I tracked it for the entire week. What I ate each day, what I drank, if I napped, how much screen time I had, how much I smoked. I've become so completely obsessed with recording every single part of my day. And you know what I learned? I learned that it doesn't matter what I eat or drink or how much time I spend on my phone. My body simply refuses to sleep. My brain always finds something to stress about in the middle of the night.
What do you stress about?
I don't know. Everything, I guess.
Your sister?
Amongst other things.
Tell me, Allie, how is your sister doing?
Candace?
Yes. You said last week that you've been stressing about her more than usual. Any particular reason why?
No, she's been pretty normal, I guess.
Isn't that a good thing?
No, not with her at least. You might think it's a good thing, and you might think that this is the time she stays sober. She'll build your hopes up and make you excited that she's finally healthy, and then right at the final moment, when you couldn't be happier for her, she'll do what she always does. She'll relapse, and then she'll call me to pick up the pieces. See, when she's at her worst, I'm stressed out 24/7, but it's a familiar stress, one I've dealt with before and I know how to handle.
Tell me about this familiar stress. What sorts of things constitute a familiar stress in regards to your sister?
Well, calls like your sister has been arrested and needs you to come pick her up from the police station. Or your sister is in the hospital because she's overdosed and needs you to come pick her up. None of those calls are pleasant, but all of those calls are things I've come to expect. When she's relapsed and on the run, I know to stay by my phone 24/7 so I can take her call when she needs me. I know what to expect. It's when she's healthy, though, that I'm really stressed. Because you never know what's going to set her off again into another relapse. Did she get into a fight with my aunt? Does she have a new goal that she feels unsupported with? Has she met a new boyfriend who you know is toxic, but she's excited to introduce you to him? You just never know what she's going to say or do, and you have no idea if you're going to be the one to set her off. Each call is unpredictable when she's sober. Is today a friendly chat because she's driving alone and wants company? Or is she going to scream at me because she's having a bad day? Is she going to ask me to go to a movie with her when I'm in town? Or is she going to ask me for rent money because she blew her paycheck? It's that unpredictability that continues to stress me out.
Is it fair to say that you feel more stability when she is unwell? When she's using?
I know it's horrible to say, but yes. At least I know how to handle her when she's at her worst. It's routine, almost. She calls me, I drive out to meet her, pick her up, bring her home, I feed her, shower her, drive her to rehab, and then make arrangements for her to stay with Aunt Allison until she can get back on her feet. I've done that more times than I can count. When she's using, I can be tough on her, I can be loving, I can pretty much be anything to her, and she's just so grateful to be rescued that she allows it. But it's when she's sober that I don't know how to act. Am I going to send her over the edge if I'm tough on her? Is she going to feel smothered by my love? Not knowing what she needs from me is what scares me the most.
It sounds like you're scared that you're going to be the one who ruins her sobriety.
Exactly. I feel like she's relying on me to help her stay healthy, and I'm always worried that I'm going to ruin it somehow.
And do you believe this fear is what's causing your nightmares?
It must be. I went months without having those nightmares, but ever since she recently moved back in with Aunt Allison, they've become a nightly thing.
You told me in the dreams you're an adult and that you're the age you are now. But tell me, in these dreams, how do you see Candace?
I always see her as a little kid. I see her when she's at her most helpless. She's always far away from me, crying for my help, and I'm having trouble reaching her because the fire and the smoke from the burning houses are so intense.
Are you ever able to reach her in these dreams?
Sometimes, if I haven't woken up by then. But even when I do, I see this look of panic on her face. She's scared and she's looking for me to help, but I don't know what to do.
Could you perhaps be remembering the way she looked at you when you two discovered that your mother had passed?
Maybe. But aside from Candace's expression, everything else in the dream is different. My mother passed away in her sleep. She didn't die in a house fire. We were never in any real danger like we are in my dream. In my dream, the fire feels so real. I can feel the heat on my face, burning the hairs on my arms. The smoke is so thick and smells so strong. It hurts to breathe when I'm dreaming. In reality, when I found our mother, I called 911. The police came and took us to the station, and then Aunt Allison picked us up and we went to live with her. I was solely responsible for Candace for less than an hour, and yet in the nightmare, I'm actively rescuing her. Her entire life depends on me as I'm driving us through those burning streets. All while our neighbors continue peacefully living their lives while they're stuck inside their burning houses.
Do you still see them when you experience the nightmares? Your neighbors, that is.
I see them every time. It's what I hate most about that nightmare. It isn't the sight of my mother walking back into our burning house as she talks to herself. Rather, it's the images I have of our neighbors just sitting in their houses, drinking their coffees, reading their papers, watching their TVs, and going about their daily lives as they burn alive. All while my mother just keeps repeating that single phrase, follow his music. The only ones scared are me and Candace. It's just so unsettling.
It sounds unsettling. And tell me, in the dream, are you scared for yourself? Or are you scared for your sister?
My sister. I'm always scared for her. In the dream and in real life. It's like no matter what I do, I always see her as the scared little kid in the backseat of the car who's crying and asking for mom.
Have you ever tried talking to Candace about these nightmares? Maybe see if she's ever experienced any similar dreams of her own?
No, not at all. I don't want her to know anything about my nightmares. The last thing I need is her believing these dreams are real. No, I'd rather not talk to her about any of my issues. She has enough to worry about.
You have enough to worry about as well. To take care of others, you have to take care of yourself first.
I could take care of others just fine if I could get more than 3 hours of sleep at night, which I'd actually like us to work on now, if that's okay.
Of course. We can circle back to this another time. I do believe that we have more to discuss about this topic.
Sounds like a plan. Now about those sleep techniques we haven't tried yet.
Of course. Hopefully these new techniques will help with the nightmares and the restlessness.
Doc, I'm at your mercy. Let's figure out how to end these nightmares and get me some sleep. 1:42 a.m. You've got to be kidding me. That wasn't even a full hour. Let's see. It's Tuesday, 1:42 a.m. Reason for waking up. What else? My stupid reoccurring nightmare. Note, I am completely over this stupid dream and would be just as happy to never experience it again. Additional notes, had no caffeine today and ate an early dinner. Tried meditation before bed, it did not help, and I ended up tossing and turning for half an hour before getting about less than an hour of sleep. Still refusing to admit I need to take sleeping pills that the doctor keeps recommending. Although I may not have a choice soon if any more of her suggestions fail. Can people go insane from lack of sleep? Oh God, don't go down that road. You don't need anything else to stress you out about in the middle of the night. Well, might as well see if I can get back to sleep. I'm wide awake now, but no harm in trying. What the hell? Who's that? Don't answer it. Nobody good could be knocking at your door at 1:40 a.m. Just call the police. You're gonna be okay. Just call the police and tell them some sketchy stranger is pounding at your door at 1:40 a.m. Hey, you better get out of here. I'm calling the police if you don't stop. I'm serious. My finger's on the call button. Ah! Damn it.
Allie, let me in, please.
Candace? Holy shit, kid. You nearly gave me a heart attack. I'm coming. Stop. I said I'm coming. You're going to wake up the entire building. Candace, stop. Why didn't you call first? What? Hello? Candace? Where did you go? Candace, this isn't funny. Just get inside. Who knows what other weirdos are lurking in these hallways? Candace?
Allie.
Candace! What the hell? How did you get in? And what is your deal? Why are you pounding on bloody murder on my door in the middle of the night? Ugh, don't cry. I wasn't shouting at you. You just freaked me out is all. I wasn't expecting to have you pounding at my door at 2 a.m. Want something to drink? I can offer you tap water or tap water. Here you go. Come on, kid, stop crying. Candace? Candace, what's wrong? What happened?
I heard it.
Heard what? Candace, what's wrong? You're freaking me out.
Do you still not hear it, Allie? After all this time, do you still not hear anything?
Hear what? Candace, what are you talking about? Who the hell's that? Candace, did someone follow you here?
It's him.
Him who? Did this person follow you here? Did they hurt you? Whatever, screw this. Whoever they are, I'm calling the cops.
Allie, listen. Just listen. If you listen, then you can follow his music.
What did you say? Candace, what did you just say? Candace, where did you go? Candace! Candace! Candace. Candace. What? Wait, that was just a dream. Oh, thank God. What time is it? Let's see here. 3:02 a.m. Damn it, kid, I was actually sleeping for once. I should give you so much grief for waking me up. Hey, kid, what's up? You're calling later than usual.
Allie, it's me.
Aunt Allison? What's wrong?
It's your sister. She's missing.
Damn it. She was doing so well. Although we were waiting for this, weren't we? What was it that set her over the edge this time?
This isn't like before, Allie. This is different. Something is really wrong with her.
What do you mean?
She was different. She was talking to herself a lot this past week and kept muttering something about music.
Wait, what was that about music? What was she saying?
Something like, I can't quite remember. Something music? I couldn't really make it out.
Was it Follow His Music?
Yes, that's it! Did she say the same thing to you?
No, it's just... Look, I can be there in a few hours. Sit tight, I'll drive over and we can figure it out then.
Thanks, Allie.
Her glass? It's still there. That was just a dream, wasn't it?
The Midnight Symphony Podcast, created, written, and directed by Joaquin Barrientos. Produced by Harrison Song. Sound editing, sound mixing, and music by Harrison Song. This week's episode was performed by McKenna Gibbons as Allie, Miranda Wiseman as Candace, Terry Michelargius as Aunt Allison, Christy Bolton as Olivia, L. Gibbons LeBlanc as young Candace, and Peg Barcelo as Dr. Hamilton. For more information, cast bios, or past episodes, visit us online at themidnightsymphony.com or follow us on social media. We'll see you next week, and always remember, follow his music.